Dating has changed a lot in recent years, from the onset of dating websites to the world of dating apps today. Let's just say it's not your mother's dating scene anymore. Well, our next guest is an online dating expert. Liesl Shorabi is the author of the Dating in the Digital Age column for Psychology Today, as well as an assistant professor at ASU's Hugh Downe School of Human Communication. And she's out with a new study just in time for Valentine's Day that dives deep into the world of digital dating. In it, she surveyed people who had met their significant others online and found that a whole lot of them were in fulfilling relationships, ones they felt were stronger than would have been if they had met the old-fashioned way. So much for the meet cute. I spoke with Shorabi more about it.
I was really interested in this study that came out about 10 years ago now in 2013 by John Cacioppo and his colleagues that was looking at marriages that formed online and comparing them to relationships that started offline. And what they found with this large sample of people who met in various places on and off the internet was that people who met online were a little bit more satisfied with their marriages, and they were also a little less likely to end up separated or divorced. And so to me, this just raised so many questions of why would those differences exist? And so they speculated, but that really wasn't the focus of their study. And also in the past 10 years, so much has changed when it comes to how we meet people, particularly through online dating platforms, because in 2013, that was also around the time that Tinder launched and kind of changed everything. And so I wanted to answer this why question, like what makes some relationships that are initiated through these platforms successful? So also you hear a lot of stories from people who have these terrible experiences. They get burnt out with online dating. They get frustrated, like they're catfished. And so it also makes you wonder, like, does this work for people? And so I was curious to talk to the success stories and the people who were able to find love on these platforms.
So you're looking at the sort of long-term outcomes here in a way that probably hasn't been done before. Do we know how pervasive this is? Like how often marriages or long-term relationships are the result of online dating at this point?
Yes. We know that online dating is now the number one way that people meet a romantic partner in the U.S. And the Pew Research Center just put out some new data last week, actually, that showed that 1 in 10 people in the U.S. who are in a relationship met online. And if you look at people under the age of 30, that number goes to 1 in 5.
Wow.
So this is incredibly common. And it's interesting because when I talk to people in my study, some of them said they wouldn't tell everybody necessarily how they met. Like there's still the stigma. But we know from research that it's very common.
Well, the stigma is probably changing. Okay, so let's talk about some of the couples that you studied here. You talked to 50 couples that were successful in this sense, and they talked about sort of the ways in which they felt like online dating made their relationships more successful, which almost seems counterintuitive because of those kinds of stigmas like you talked about. So describe for us what they had to say.
Yeah, so I was interested in knowing how their relationship progressed from when they first met through the site or the app that they were using all the way through marriage. And also, what are the implications of that process now? Like, how do they still see that affecting their relationship, if at all? And so something I found with these individuals was that they felt like online dating gave them a really solid foundation for the relationship that was different than what they would have had if they would have met offline. They talked about being able to get to know someone as a person before introducing that physical component to the relationship. So you spend all of that time in the very beginning just talking and getting to know somebody, and you're not physical at all. Like it's just this process of disclosing and building a relationship that they felt gave them a solid foundation. Also having access to a larger pool of partners and feeling like they were choosing somebody versus life and circumstance kind of making that decision for them. So they felt like they were more active participants in, you know, getting to pick who they spent their life with rather than having that decision kind of made for them through circumstance.
It makes a lot of sense. What about like, does the app that you use, the site that you use matter? There are a lot of these like really niche sites, right? Like Farmers Only or JDate, right? Like does that help or are we sort of self-selecting?
I think there is some self-selection that happens there, where I kind of think of them like modern singles bars. Like every platform has its own crowd, like it has its own culture, and people bounced around to different ones. So there weren't, from the people I spoke to, they weren't just Tinder users, they weren't just Hinge users. They used all of them and they switched around depending on what was working for them and who they were looking to meet. And in terms of whether any one platform works better than another, I mean, in my study, I wasn't focused on a platform. So I ended up with success stories from all of them. I mean, I had people who met a spouse on Tinder, which is surprising to a lot of people who I tell. And I had people who met on other platforms as well. And so, I mean, I think it depends on the person and kind of what you're looking for, too.
Yeah, fair enough. Can you tell us about a couple that you profiled that was really interesting to you and that maybe told you something you weren't expecting?
Yeah, I mean, there was one person who I spoke with who was talking about the stigma of having met on Tinder, which I found really interesting because to me, as someone who studies this, I mean, one of the things that I've observed is that the stigma around meeting online has largely gone away. And yeah, it's common and people are becoming accustomed to it. It's normalized. But I had people tell me that depending on the platform they used, it was still there. And particularly with Tinder, there was this expectation that if you were using it, you were looking for something casual, you were looking to hook up. And so the person who I spoke with was telling me they would tell their friends how they met, but they wouldn't tell like their family. They wouldn't tell older relatives who maybe weren't as familiar with it, who might have those sorts of expectations. And that was really interesting to me to hear people say that and to hear that they felt like this was a lesser relationship, because that's so inconsistent with how I would view this and also what the literature would say.
That's really interesting. So you also write about this for Psychology Today. So, I mean, you're the person who's plugged in on the dating online world, right? Can you tell us about what you think it means that so many people meet this way now, that the way that we meet people has changed so much? Like, is this a shift, like a fundamental shift in love in relationships?
I firmly believe that this is not just a passing trend, that this is an actual shift. And I say this as someone who's been studying this topic for over a decade and just what I've observed and how it's changed and become more normalized over time. I mean, in my study, I talked to some young people like in their early mid-20s who were telling me that all of their serious relationships in adulthood started online. Because when you think about millennials and Gen Z, like they've grown up with this technology. They're used to social media. They're used to meeting people through the internet, through their cell phones. And so when I think about the fact that for them, this is what dating now looks like, I don't think it's going to change. And I see this becoming even more common in the future.
Do you think there's something lost in that? I mean, from the traditional side, or do you think it's pretty much the same way that people have always communicated? It's just on a different platform.
I mean, I think you lose some, but you gain some as well, right? Like, sure, there are problems with it. And there are things that maybe we might miss about the old fashioned way of just walking up to somebody and introducing yourself. But at the same time, I think that what you gain, to me, there's just so much opportunity there. And it's something I'm really excited about in this space. Like, you gain access to so many more people than you would otherwise. It's so convenient for people, like single moms who are looking to start dating again, like people with busy work schedules. Like, it just makes it so much easier for those people and gives them a chance to date in a way that I don't think they would have had before.
All right, we'll leave it there. Liesl Shorabi is an assistant professor at ASU's Hugh Downs School of Human Communication and author of the Dating in the Digital Age column for Psychology Today. She's here to talk to us about her new study on this. Liesl, thank you for coming on and for all the information and context on this. It's been really interesting.
Thank you so much.